Isaiah chapter 1. I want us to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 18. This is the Lord God of heaven and earth speaking. And he says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, I've often heard men and women say concerning a former friend that they had a falling out with them. "What about you and so-and-so? We had a falling out," they say. That simply means that they were no longer friends. One had greatly offended the other and they no longer spoke. They no longer had any type of fellowship one with the other. Men and women, in most cases, can get along fine without former friends. Maybe hurtful, but for the most part, they can survive. Friends do come and go, don't they? I know that from experience. But sadly, every single one of us, because of our depraved and sinful nature, have fallen out with our Creator, with whom we cannot, and I repeat, cannot, live without. It's a sad and pitiful situation to have rebelled against the hand that has fed us and provided for our every earthly need. All of us, according to Scripture, have turned aside from the way of God's commandments, and we would not submit to Jehovah's authority. We've all gone out of the way, gone our own way. We've altogether become unprofitable, filthy, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's what the Bible says about you and I. None of us understood it. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. None of us that sought God. Now listen. None of us sought God. And with that said, the verse that I read to you is a wonderful instance of divine compassion, that God should be willing to hold a conference with sinful men and women. Of course, the first person to ask for such a conference should have been us. We're the ones that offended. We're the offensive party. It was us who offended God. And it's man who will have to suffer the consequence of offenses. But instead of man seeking God and pleading with bitter tears, it is God who came seeking us. That is amazing. How many times has someone offended us in our words? Well, unless they say they're sorry, unless I see some kind of a change of heart in them, I'll never speak to them again. That's just the way we are. But no one has ever offended us, friends, like we have offended God Almighty. So marvel at these amazing words. It is God, the one whom we have offended, who says, "Come now and let us reason together." What an amazing statement. God Almighty, the one we have offended, proposes this reasoning with us. Oh, the freeness of God's mercy. Instead of hurling us into hell by His divine and strict justice, He calls us to now come and reason together. We've transgressed against Him again and again. We've provoked Him over and over. We must come to the conclusion that if He had meant to destroy us, He would not have asked us to come and reason with Him. Oh, how I wish we could get a hold of this fact that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from His way and live. We've painted out God out to be this monster. I've had men tell me, your God is a monster. No, my God is sovereign. He saves some, He passes others by. On some, He bestows His grace and mercy, and on others, His wrath. Here is God who possesses all power, the very one that could crush us who have sinned against Him in just a single second. Now says, allow me to paraphrase, let us talk this matter over. Oh, can we see that He is truly moved by mercy, by love and compassion, and there's still hope for the guilty to be reconciled to his offended Maker? So I ask, would it not be wise for us to do so? Our God is angry with the wicked every day, Scripture says. But here He is reasoning with the sinful yet chosen child of God. God does not plead and reason with everyone, but He's extremely long-suffering to His elect. God doesn't plead and reason with everyone. Don't think that's what I'm saying, but long-suffering, compassionate, delights to show mercy. Now, if there's any lost sinner here this morning that desires to be right with God, realize even now as you hear these words that your desire alone is the work of an infinitely patient and gracious God. By nature, we love sin, and God is willing by the effectual work of a substitute to be long-suffering with His people. By nature, as I said, we love sin, yet God is willing to part us with our sin. If a thrice holy God would meet with a dead dog sinner, then He must be prepared and willing to rid us of our sin. Is that not a reasonable deduction? Is God going to reason with us just to send us to hell? That's not the God of mercy and grace that I read about in these pages. If you desire, now listen, if you desire to be free from the bondage of your sin, the Holy Spirit has put that desire within your heart. So in this divine reasoning, the first thing that is made known to the chosen sinner is their sin. Though your sin be as scarlet. God says, though your sins be as scarlet, oh, they're easily noticed and observed. They're not an off-color white. They're not just a drab, dingy, almost white color. They're scarlet. They're a brilliant red color. And if you even look that word scarlet up in the dictionary, it has a meaning other than just brilliant red color. It also refers to wicked, hideous, and immoral. That describes my sin, scarlet. You see, no one can miss my sin. It's obvious. You don't have to follow me around long to see that I'm a sinner. But God doesn't miss it at all. You may be able to fool some people some of the time, but never God. And He tells me from the very beginning that my sins are as scarlet. They're 1,000 times filthier than they even seem. It seems often that God gives me a whiff of myself, and I think to myself, what a wretched, good-for-nothing dog I am. And even when I reach that point, they're 1,000 times worse than what I think. My sin is ever before me, and what a stench they are in the nostrils of a thrice holy God. They could send me to hell 1,000 times over and only then begin to scratch the surface of my deserved condemnation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our Lord immediately makes us aware of our desperately wicked hearts, which are deceitful above all things. That's what the Scriptures tell us. Our hearts are deceitful above all things. Nothing any more deceitful than the heart of a wretched, depraved sinner. They're desperately wicked. They're not just wicked, they're desperately wicked. The heart of man. And the Scriptures ask the question, who can know it? We can't even know it in its fullness. But God can. He immediately makes us aware that the just wages of our iniquities is death. Eternal death. Everlasting damnation. He makes it known to the sinner with whom he reasons that the thoughts and the intents of their heart are only evil. And not only just only evil, but only evil continually. It doesn't get better, does it? But in the pronouncing of my depraved wretchedness, God promises that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that though my sins be as scarlet, now listen, they shall be as white as snow. Do you want to know how this can be done? It's through the great atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who on Calvary's mountain bore the wrath of God in our place and in our stead, that God might be able to be both, that He might be able with justice to forgive the sins of all who trust in Christ alone. Oh, this isn't hard to understand, but you'll never understand it unless God reveals it to your heart. You'll never see your need until God shows it to you. Now, the method of making scarlet sinners as white as snow is the bleeding Savior and Him alone. He alone performs this miracle of mercy. True words have never been spoken. If you will come and seek your God, confessing your sin, bowing to the great sacrifice of Christ, your scarlet sin shall cease to be, and you shall become as white as snow. So let me ask you, do you see your sins to be as scarlet? That's the first and most important thing. It's the first thing that God says after saying, come now and let us reason together. Your sins are as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Does that great thought, seriously I ask you, does that great thought have any effect on you? It will if you're a great sinner and you see your scarlet sins as great. Unfortunately, to many it means nothing. And they will not come and reason that they might have life. They just will not. One day, they're going to bow and worship Him, but it'll be too late. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Friends, we can do it now or do it when the wrath of God abides on us. One way or another, every man and woman that's ever lived is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I would advise you to consider this now. Today is the day of salvation. That's the best news that tongue has ever told. And my biggest regret to you this morning is that I cannot tell it better and more effectually. If I could with true urgency tell sinners that salvation comes no other way and their thoughts of Christ are of eternal consequence, I would do so. I'm as serious as I can be. Every single time I step down from up here, my biggest regret is that I didn't tell it better. My greatest burden is that I might have been clearer. But if God can use the words of Balaam's ass, He can surely use mine. Oh, I tell you again, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But my sins are long and continued. They're repeated again and again, and they're deliberate. My transgressions are deliberate. They're put away in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're now white as snow. Those that lean on Christ, trust in Him as their substitute. And yet, friends, I confess to you, I feel the tendency within me towards evil every day of my life. My sin is so deeply ingrained that sin is what I am, not just what I do. Oh, the inward battle that rages within. Paul spoke of it, and every child of God knows what he was talking about. O wretched and depraved man I am, I still desire to do things my way. I still desire to stray from the obedience of the commandments of God. But by God's grace, I will not fret. For God has put within His people a new nature, whose heart loves and pants after the living God. I'll continue to praise and give glory to God with my inward man. And though many times I don't feel redeemed, let me tell you, feelings don't have nothing to do with it. It has not a thing to do with the matter. And I'm graciously again and again reminded by the Word of God, my Maker, that though my sins be red, so red that they appear as dark purple, or even black, they shall be as wool, crimson. Deep, dark, red, almost purple, almost black at first glance. They shall be as wool. Just as a man that made the delicate timepiece. I don't know if you've ever seen a watchmaker or even a watch repair man. We're, the little community I grew up in, they had a little watch repair shop there. Within walking distance from the house, Dave's Jewelry. I suppose I was always intrigued because we shared the first name, but you would walk by and you'd see Dave there in the window, and he'd have his little eyeglass thing on and would be working on that small little watch with all its delicate, intricate parts. Let me tell you something, friends. He who made that watch knows how to mend it. And even more so can God mend this broken and habitual sinner. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, many preach of God whom many things are too hard for Him. He needs your cooperation. He needs your help in the matter. He needs you to stand with Him so that your salvation can be accomplished. But I'm telling you that the God of this Bible don't need your help. There's nothing, nothing, nothing too hard for Him. Nothing. He who gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, strength to the lame. That man lay against that pool of Bethesda for all those years. No strength in his legs. I can just almost see him. Little old round bones with skin on them. He said, take up your bed and walk. And the Scripture says, immediately he stood. He who gives strength to the lame. He who gives children to the barren. He can do everything, anything, and He does all things, and He does them well. So again, by sovereign reasoning with the sovereign God, I rejoice to know that the blackness of my sin is made as white as snow and wool. When the Spirit of God puts the love of Christ into the soul, in the place of the love of sin, that new affection drives out the old habits, and the sinner set free from sins of which he's long committed. Now, this is not an overnight process. You ladies know that scarlet and crimson are very hard to remove a stain from fabric. Teresa and I got out an old rug this week that we intended to use, and we were quickly reminded of a deep red stain where I had once spilt red Kool-Aid. She scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. Still signs of the red on the rug. The stain still remained. But friends, the stain of our sin is easily removed by Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. put away all doubt in the fact that your habitual sin cannot be cleansed. It can be. The blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. That's what John said. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Past sin, present sin, future sin. Cleansed. Gone. White as snow. White as snow. You see, God knows how to destroy the fabric and make it new again. And not leave a stain behind. And I know there are maybe some who are saying within themselves, but I'm so weak. And I'm such a poor, just a poor fool. And my mind's so feeble that I can't resist my sin. Well, you're not so much a fool if you know you're one. The biggest fools are those who never know that they're fools. Only an ignorant fool believes that they can clean the stain themselves. Now, I can back that up in Scripture. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, ignorant, and going about to establish their own righteousness, going about to clean their own stain, scrubbing, still scrubbing, the stain remains. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to Him, friends, and live. That love the God that came to you when you should have come to Him and said, "Oh, chosen one, let's sit down and let's reason together. Though your sins are many, scarlet, crimson, my Son has made them white as snow and as wool. There's no help against sin but almighty grace." Did you know that? There's no way of obtaining almighty grace except through the free gift of God. Did you know that? This God gives as He pleases, for He has a right to bestow it or to withhold it. That's God. That's why we call Him sovereign. He does what He wills, when He wills, how He wills, to whom He wills. But He promises to give it to all who come humbly, confessing their sin. Reasoning with Him, they say, "Yea, Lord, my sins are as scarlet. I confess they are. My transgressions, oh my, they're great." And they cast themselves by faith upon Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And He says, "They're white as snow. They're white as snow." Now I leave you with this. I pray that you have seen this morning that the guilt of sin can be put away by the blood of Christ. And the power of sin can be subdued by the Holy Ghost. Every provision is made for the salvation of men and women who desire to be saved. Now, wait a minute. I thought you believed in election. I thought you believed that God chose a people before the foundation of the world. What does my desire have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. Those of you that desire Christ were the chosen before the foundation of the world. That's not hard to believe, is it? Or understand, is it? God made you willing in the day of His power. Therefore, you are an elect of God. Let's don't use election as an excuse. Do you desire to be saved? Then come. Come to God and reason with Him. He's met your difficulties. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." May God, oh how I pray that God, right now, sent His Spirit and is effectually working in the hearts of those of you who are still without Christ. God, who should have sent you to hell, says, come. Come now. Right now. And let us reason together. Let's talk this over as friends. You're a mess. You're filthy. Your sins are as scarlet. They can be seen from way, way off. And all things are naked and open unto my eye. But you trust my Son, and I'll make them white as snow. And friends, He's able to do so. He's not only willing, He's able. May God add His blessings to the preaching of His gospel. And may He make it effectual to our hearts.